Amen. Thank you so much, Ollie. Just a reminder, we're looking at the parable of the sower, which is Mark chapter 4, and it starts on verse 1 there, and that's on page 1005, and I'm sure you'd be helped to look that up as we go. And thank you very much for all the good wishes and prayers. If you didn't know, we had a baby yesterday morning, just after 4 o'clock in the morning. A little baby Cyrus is back in hospital at the moment because he's got slightly low platelets, which are something to do with blood clotting, but he's basically fine, but he's going to be watched for a little while. Ollie's prayed, but I'll pray again. And not because Ollie's prayer was hopeless, which it certainly wasn't, but I'm going to need God's help. Loving Father, thank you that your word is like a hammer that breaks rocks, as we've just sung. I pray that the rocky places of our hearts would be broken open and exposed to the power of your words this morning. We ask that in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, Ollie might have already said that we've got a retreat going on this weekend, and wonderfully, loads of people from our church are at that retreat right now, which explains why there are lots and lots of empty seats, more than usual. But actually, even when everyone's here, there are still plenty of empty seats in this church. And why do you think that is? What is wrong with our church that there are so few people who come here? I wonder if there's an easy answer to that, because actually we seem to do quite a lot, I think, as a church. So, you know, we do lots of things to help our local community, things like Fair Share and the Lunch Club. We run Christianity Explored, so people have a chance to find out more about Jesus. I hope the talks are engaging and interesting, but also are true to God's word, which has real power in it. We have exciting music, don't we, from David on the organ and the band. It's a nice place to come to. We have fantastic cake after the service. And yeah, despite all of that, there are still plenty of extra seats. Why is that the case, do you think? Well, think about this question. What happens to that family, that woman? I'm not talking about anyone in particular, but you can imagine who I'm talking about. You know, they came with great enthusiasm years ago. They were here Sunday after Sunday after Sunday. They seemed so excited about belonging to our church. And then after a while, they only came very infrequently. And then we never really saw them after that. And now, perhaps now when you bump into them in the streets, it's a little bit awkward because there's a kind of elephant in the room. You know, we haven't seen you at church for ages. We'd love to see you. That kind of thing. Why is that the case? Why does that happen? I recently replaced the car battery in my little red car, and I had a look at it, and it's got this big plastic thing with loads of wires in it over the top. And I thought, I'm not really sure I want to mess around with that, so I did what my generation do. I went on YouTube and found a video about replacing the car battery in my model of car, and sure enough, it was very useful, because in fact, the guy who made the video discovered that there's a clip to get this plastic stuff off the top of the battery, and getting it off is very difficult. It took him 4 hours to work out how to do it, and the way to get it off is to put a screwdriver, a big long flathead screwdriver, down one side and wedge it into this thing, and it opens a clip, and then it all comes off. That's one simple trick for replacing the car battery. Is there one simple trick for filling up every seat in our church? Is there one easy thing you could do? The internet's always telling me there's one simple thing I need to do for excellent weight loss or something. No, I'm not trying to lose weight, by the way, just in case anyone gets worried about me. There's one simple trick you can do, apparently, according to the internet. There's one simple trick for how to invest your money wisely. Is there one simple trick for filling up all of the seats in our church? Well, according to the Lord Jesus, there isn't. Jesus explains that when the word is proclaimed, when the Bible is taught and the gospel is spoken, there are four things that might happen, and three of those things are negative. There are three possible bad outcomes to the word being proclaimed, and one good outcome. Jesus tells this parable, this story of the sower, so that people like you and me won't be surprised when disappointment comes as we're trying to grow the local church, the community of those who sit under the authority of God. Three things that could go wrong, one thing that will go right. Look at each of these in turn. Well, I don't know if you followed how our passage works. Jesus tells the parable of the sower, where some seed falls on a path and is eaten by birds, some seed falls on rocky ground where it starts to grow, but as soon as the sun shines, it withers. Some seed falls on thorny ground where it's not the only thing that's trying to grow. Other things grow up as well and choke those plants. Some seed, of course, falls on good soil and grows and bears great fruit. Having told the parable and having said, oh, anyone with ears to hear, let them hear, Jesus and his friends go off and they're perplexed by the story. You might have heard it lots of times if you've been going to church for a while, but they've never heard it. What is this about? They ask. And Jesus says something that's perhaps even more perplexing and even more mysterious, quoting some words from Isaiah 6. He explains the reason he told the story is so that people wouldn't understand. Let's come back to that in a moment. But then, for the benefit of the disciples, he explains the story, the story of the sower, and we're going to do that as well, following Jesus' words now. So there are three things that could go wrong when you and I explain the message of Jesus, or when someone comes to church and they say, this was the best service I've ever been to. When someone comes to a wedding and says, this is so great, I'm going to start coming all the time now, or a baptism, or some service like that. I hear this all the time. People say, this is the best church I've ever been to. It's so friendly. It's so nice. And yet we don't see them again. Why is that? Now Jesus is going to answer that question for us. So some seed, of course, then falls on the path. Let's look at that one first. Jesus explains this in verse 14. The seeds, it's the word of God. That's what it represents. Verse 14, the farmer sows the word. Some people are like seeds sown along the path. When the word is sown, as soon as they hear it, Satan comes and takes the word that was sown in them. I used to go to a church in Oxford that was very old and it had a Norman arch sort of exit. And as you went out, if you looked at the arch, you know, Norman arches are kind of semicircular. It was made of birds, not real birds, that would be gross, but stone carved birds. And they were all pointing down to the doorway with their beaks. So the idea was that as you left the church, watch out, because the seed of the word of God that you've just heard could be snatched away at any moment. Who are the people described here? They're the people who come to our events, who hear the word, and think, that's amazing. That sounds great. And it's really encouraging interaction. But of course, the moment they leave, something changes. Well, perhaps we've all had this experience. You know, you decide to do something on the basis of what you've heard from the Bible. Maybe you've read something in your quiet time and you've heard something in church. You say, I'm going to make a change. I'm going to do something slightly differently, but I'll do it tomorrow. And then you forget. And then it's kind of too late. And that thought is lost. Well, Jesus attributes this to the evil one. That one possibility when the word is sown, even if it's done really clearly and faithfully and attractively, and maybe even humorously, is that that seed will be snatched away before it has the chance to grow. So let's not be surprised when we have a great reaction to something we do as a church, which actually leads nowhere. That's one thing that can go wrong. Here's the second thing. It's the seed sown on the rocky places. Jesus explains this in verse 16. Others, he said, like seed sown on rocky places, hear the word and at once receive it with joy. But since they have no root, they only last a short time. When trouble or persecution comes because of the word, they quickly fall away. What sort of people are these? These are people who come and they hear the word and they respond in an excited way and they come back again afterwards. They want to hear it again, but the trouble is there's so much competition, other things that they want to get out of life, and so the roots of God's words are not laid down. And so when persecution comes, when someone says to them, are you serious? You've started going to church? Are you serious? You want to be a Christian? Don't you know that Christianity, it belongs to the past? Christianity, that's kind of bigotry, it's old-fashioned. Why would you want to have anything to do with Christianity? They think, oh, I don't know, actually. Not really sure why I want to have anything to do with Christianity. I just went to church and it was interesting. And maybe that's the end. As soon as persecution comes, That journey is over. So we should expect, sadly, that sometimes when people make an appearance more than once at our church, that that might be all that there is. Of course, we can encourage more, can't we? Here's a third thing that can go wrong, like the seed sown in thorny ground. Verse 18, still others, like seed sown among thorns, hear the word, but the worries of this life, the deceitfulness of wealth and the desire for other things come in and choke the word, making it unfruitful. Of course, some people will come. They'll hear the word and they'll receive it with great excitement and they'll begin their journey in faith. That's how it seems. But the trouble is other things are growing at the same time in all of our lives, aren't they? And we decide how to prioritize certain things. And alongside the word, perhaps there's a desire to do everything. Everything is possible these days, isn't it? There's so many things that we could choose to do with our time. So much competition, of course. And the more we invest in each of those things, the more they are likely to grow and perhaps dominate our lives. These people are those in whose lives other things are growing, are vying for dominance. And when people disappear, it's because the other things have won. Whatever that thing is that's competing for time, competing for energy, competing for attention, we should expect, sadly, that some people will fall away because other things are important. And those things are usually good things. Maybe it's time with family. Maybe it's a hobby that we really enjoy. But if we want to grow as Christians, we need to be disciplined about how we approach all the things that could dominate us. You know, in my life, I could spend all my time working, I could spend all my time with family, I could spend all my time doing my hobbies like cycling and swimming. Some of you probably think I do spend all my time doing that. So I've got writing as well as something I really enjoy doing, and I really enjoy playing the piano as well. I could easily spend all day playing the piano. But if I want to thrive as a Christian, I need to know how to discipline myself around all of those exciting things that need to be put in a certain place. Some people will disappear off our church radar, so to speak, because so many other things are important in their lives and they can't balance everything. Well, that's a bit depressing, isn't it, so far? We've got three ways in which what seems really good, the preaching of God's word, might bear no fruit. But it's great for us to be protected against the discouragements when somebody falls away. Finally, some people will respond like good soil. Jesus says, verse 20, others like seed sown in good soil, hear the word, accept it, and produce a crop, some 30, some 60, some 100 times what was sown. Well, it might be that you're here today because you have been that good soil for the word of God. You heard it. Perhaps you received it with joy, but after careful nurturing, it has grown and it's grown and it's grown in your life. Oh, the question is, of course, how can we make sure we've got more good soil? How can I make sure that when somebody comes through the door that they will definitely be good soil rather than seed sown on a path or amongst the thorns or in the rocky ground? How can I make sure that they are like that? Well, the sad news is that I can't. There's nothing I can do to guarantee that someone hears the word and it grows in them. How do I know that? Well, I know that because of the words Jesus says in between telling the story and explaining the story. He quotes from Isaiah 6, which says this: they may be ever seeing but never perceiving, and hearing but never understanding. Otherwise, they might turn and be forgiven. He says this to explain why he teaches in parables. Now, lots of people think Jesus taught in parables to make it easier for people to understand. Well, Jesus says here that is not why he taught in parables. In fact, the opposite is true. Jesus says, the secret of the kingdom of God is being given to you, but to those on the outside, everything is in parables so that they won't understand. Is that shocking to you? What's going on there? Is that shocking to you? I wonder. Jesus is saying that the reason he teaches in parables is in a sense to conceal or protect the truth, rather like a riddle. You know, a riddle contains the truth, but it's not instantly accessible. Perhaps it's like a hard-boiled sweet with a sherbet filling. You don't get all the taste at once. It only reveals itself after a lot of sucking, a lot of time spent on it. Jesus' parables are like that. They conceal the truth. They don't make it more easily digestible, because ultimately it is down to God to see a response in each and every one of us. It is only God who makes someone good soil for the words. That takes it out of my hands and out of your hands. Let me remind you why that's good news. It's good news that God is the person who makes people good soil, because that means that I can't manipulate someone into responding in the right way. I can't keep on badgering someone. You know, once they've turned up at church a few times, oh, come back next week, come back next week. We can't, as a church, keep kind of, when someone turns up or they haven't been for a while, trying to heap loads of guilt on them so they come back, or try and make them feel really excited about church so that they come back again. We can make them welcome. Of course, that's a really great thing to do, but we can't manipulate them into being good soil, because only God can do that. It means, too, that no amount of me shouting loudly from the front of church, no amount of brilliant, relevant jokes or anything like that in my preaching is going to manipulate someone into becoming a Christian. It's not down to me either. So my responsibility is to present God's word faithfully and clearly. But I know that once I've done that, the work is down to God. This doesn't absolve us, of course, of being a church where it's exciting and accessible, and doesn't mean we don't serve nice cake after the service or do action in our local community or put on Christianity Explored. All of those things are important, but it's God who gives growth. And that means that on the day when every single seat in this church is full, so much so that we have to put on extra services, I can't feel smug about that, and neither can you, because it will be God who's done that work of creating good soil. So what can we do? Then get on our knees and pray. Let's pray for good soil in our village. Let's pray for good soil when we hold a special event and someone stands up very bravely and gives a little talk about Jesus at it. Let's pray for good soil, that the word would be heard and that it would grow. And let's pray for ourselves too, that we would be good soil as we hear his words, a word which promises life, everlasting life, welcome, adoption as children of God. It's a word that our village needs to hear. Our community can be changed by it. But let's pray for good soil. Amen.